Heather, could you sort of explain to us what quantitative easing is?
Yes, it's a radical set of policies that were used by the Japanese between 2001 and 2006. They sort of pioneered this approach. And once there are no interest rate cuts left in the central bank's locker, it can start to buy assets, typically government bonds, in order to effectively to pump more cash into the banking system in the hope that the banks then lend that on to businesses and families and to drive down interest rates right across the economy.
What are the risks associated with quantitative easing?
Well, it does involve putting taxpayers' money at risk. So the approach that the Federal Reserve in the US has taken, for example, is to buy a very wide range of assets, including corporate bonds, mortgage-backed securities and so on. And the Treasury could lose money on these assets. So, you know, the taxpayer can make a loss. And in the longer term, the risk is that by pumping so much cash into the economy, you eventually create inflation. But as in all these things, and as Mervyn King explained recently, you are balancing the risks of a taking a policy in the short term against the risks of a very great depression. It's a much worse risk of a severe and prolonged contraction in the economy. And so there is a risk of inflation, but the policy makers might judge that that's less of a risk than the sort of catastrophic decline in output that we're now facing.
Does the Treasury think we're at a point yet where quantitative easing is necessary?
It doesn't yet, but what the letters that were released showed us was that they think we are getting close to that point. Interest rates are now at 1.5%, which is their lowest ever level, which gives the Bank of England very little ammunition. So what the Chancellor was doing yesterday was setting out the rules for when we get to the point where quantitative easing is necessary and sending a strong signal that he's ready for when that point arrives.
Can we expect a further rate cut from the Bank of England? It hasn't got much wriggle room, as you say. 1.5% is an all-time low, but will it lower the base rate even further?
Yes, I think it will. In the United States, the Federal Reserve has cut interest rates all the way down to a level of 0.25%. And next week, the Bank of England will meet on Wednesday and Thursday. Its Monetary Policy Committee will meet to set interest rates, and the city certainly expects at least another half point cut at that point.
And is that the point where the government will begin to buy up bonds and set in train the process of quantitative easing?
Perhaps not yet. I think the bank would be likely to wait and see what the effects of that next interest rate cut are, and it could even wait until interest rates are down at, say, 0.5% before it undertakes quantitative easing. And what the Chancellor and the Governor agreed in their exchange of public letters, which were published yesterday, was that when the Governor gets to that point, he will have to go back to number 11 Downing Street and ask Alistair Darling's permission specifically to undertake quantitative easing.
Meanwhile, Heather, many Western business leaders as well as politicians are attending the World Economic Forum in Davos. Has it turned into a wake for capitalism?
Not quite, I don't think. I'm told by colleagues that are there that the atmosphere is a lot more sombre and less celebratory than usual. And instead of discussing the broad range of issues that are often talked about, international development, debt relief, and so on, it's very much focused on this credit crunch and this downturn and what can be done about it. And I think there are a number of people feeling at least a little bit guilty and humbled that they didn't spot it coming, and perhaps they feel slightly responsible for it happening. So I think it's a somewhat more sombre event than in previous years.